Welcome to Killing Time. This is the show that searches for entertainment that I can't say, that doesn't suck.
Entertainment.
I'm rusty because the episodes are late, and there's one person to blame, and it would be me, so blame me as much as you want. I am the man who has a lot of nicknames, including the man without blame. That's right. You can blame me all you want, but I'm without it.
Right. So it's pointless.
To keep sending it over. So I'll go, I am the man with blame. So thanks for that. And with me, as always, is Bob.
Hi.
Okay. We'll spare you from the millions of nicknames, mostly because I can't speak today, which makes it a very, very interesting show.
Well, that'll be interesting. So what are we going to talk about then?
Well, it's got to be Guardians of the Galaxy, assuming you watched it.
I have.
Wait, sorry. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, not the first
Volume
one.
Two. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, at the time of recording this, that movie was relatively new. So it might be the year 2530 when this is happening,
right,
when you're seeing this.
Right.
But
when we filmed it, it just came out last Friday.
Right.
And we're on Tuesday, so it's like 5 days off.
It's been 5 days. It's been out, I'm sure the premieres were well before that. And what was your initial impressions of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2? Spoiler-free right now. We'll go to the spoilering section later.
Spoiler-free. Okay. Spoiler-free, I went in expecting too much, like I always do with these, because I had seen a lot of press on it. I didn't like it as much as the first one, but I still really enjoyed the movie and had a good time watching it.
Wow, that might be the most reserved review I've heard of Guardians. I've read a whole bunch of them after I watched the movie. I quite liked it, but also I was comparing it to lots of other Marvel sequels, which are kind of boring. I think I said to somebody, it's way better than Iron Man 2 or 3.
Yes.
Which is really not
so. Well, and let me just say, it's an excellent movie, but it really focused a lot on character development. Mm-hmm. They developed a lot of characters, which was really good. And if you're really interested in the characters, that was really good. But sometimes it felt like it dragged a little bit, just a little. There was a lot of action, but it just felt like a couple of times it dragged just a little bit. That's the only thing that set it behind the first one in my mind.
I will say with this movie, this is something I would recommend seeing in a theater. Just really big, big scenes. I didn't see it in 3D. I heard that it's better in 3D.
I saw it in 3D, and a lot of it was made for 3D.
Yeah.
There were a lot of shots that were made for 3D that really came out.
It's a really big movie. It's not like it's a small scale. Like, if you think Logan's a really small scale. Right?
No, this is huge. This is galaxy
opposite
size.
Yeah, this is the opposite of Logan. It's just big and colorful and happy. So there you go.
It was funny. It was funny.
It was very funny, I thought.
I found myself laughing a lot.
Okay, so I would suggest see it in the theater. You're saying see it in 3D if you're going to see it at all?
Yeah, see it in the theater, see it in 3D. It's worth the extra bucks.
Okay, let's go to the spoiler stuff, shall we?
Oh, and it's going to make a boatload of money. I went to a 10 a.m. showing. And we were sold out.
Yeah, the only show we can get three seats with as one theater was 10:35 in the morning on a Saturday. So not easy to get tickets for this thing because lots of people want to see this huge opening box office thing, $140 million.
Yeah.
Really big movie.
Yep.
And considering the cast, it's a good cast. So
it's an amazing cast.
What did you think of Kurt Russell?
I love Kurt Russell. I thought it was good casting. He's got a lot of geek cred because of all the stuff he did, you know, Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York. And he can play the kind of funny guy. He can play the straight guy. And he was totally believable as his father.
Yeah, Kurt Russell was really good in this movie. I didn't really care for the digital effects in the beginning. I know what they were going for. Like, he's going to drive a car and you're going to see him. He's been digitally de-aged like Michael Douglas and Ant-Man and Robert Downey Jr. And I think Avengers 2? I'm not sure which one it was. But there's all of that kind of, let's digitally fix their wrinkles. I don't think you need to do that anymore. Like, we get it. Just it doesn't really help the story much.
Right.
But otherwise, I thought he was very good. What did you think of the Baby Groot?
I thought Baby Groot was adorable. And I got to say, in my theater that I was in, he got the most, you know, oohs and ahs and giggles of all the people, adults, children. He was funny. He was cute. And I loved the extra scene with him as a teenager.
Yeah, so Baby Groot, it looks like they didn't want to go to the well for that too much. So he's only Baby Groot for this movie. first movie, yeah, he's adult Groot or whatever he is. And then there's baby Groot for all of this movie. And he is very cute and fun and important to the plot because you know you had to have a reason why he's baby Groot and he's got to be useful, right? So he's very important. But by the end, they've decided to make him teenage Groot, who seems a little bit like a snotty teenager. Not just a regular teenager, but an a-hole.
Yeah.
Which most of us as teens were, I think. So hopefully, the next movie is supposed to take place 4 years after this one, so maybe he's out of his teenage years at the time. Although, I don't know exactly how he accelerated his growth to that level from baby to teenager, so I don't know how long. That's pretty good. That's actually very good. That was just really, really, really bad. Okay. Probably. I don't know the physics of the
growth. What did you think of the music? Okay. It's a very important part of the movie.
Okay, so the music, it's volume two of the awesome mixtape thing, and it's got like Mr. Blue Sky and a bunch of other songs that I can't remember off the top of my head. And in my head, all I kept thinking about was Suicide Squad. And Suicide Squad tried so hard to be like, here's some really cool music. And this one's like, no, this music's cool because it's in this movie.
And right. It's not, they're not the coolest songs, but you know the songs. I mean, there's some Fleetwood Mac in there. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of classic stuff that you know because there was on the radio when, you know, growing up. Brandy.
Right, that song. Part. I was like, wait, Brandy, like Moesha Brandy? No, that's not that.
No. The
song Brandy. Brandy.
Fine Girl. Yeah. And that was a big part because they kept mentioning, you know, I'm the sailor and all that stuff. So
I thought the music worked for the movie. I thought they weren't trying to do anything crazier than they did the first time. I thought it was catchy. It worked. Mm-hmm. There was no need to do more than they did because it just fit again. So then there's that twist at the end of with Quill getting a Zune.
A Zune, which was hilarious. The Zune.
Yes, the music player that everybody on Earth was using. Are we supposed to believe that at this time Quill has never gone back to Earth?
Yes, he's never gone back to Earth.
I would think he would probably do it after this movie.
At some point, yeah. Especially now that he's gone through everything with his dad, Ego.
All right. Let's talk about his other dad, his other space dad, Yondu, stepdad, I guess. They made him. They actually gave him a great arc throughout the movie. They built his character a lot. You got to learn a little bit more about him, why he was hanging on to Quill, why he was constantly threatening to eat him, which, part of the spoiler section, was apparently a joke the whole time, which he never bothered to explain to Peter, which I guess is fine, because
He had a great arc, you're right. He got to be a real badass when he killed everybody on his own ship. That was pretty awesome.
I've seen the memes already. I'm Mary Poppins, man.
Oh, yes. That was funny. That was funny.
Sorry. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. That's what it
Mary
was.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
There was just, he had such a great arc. And when they, so giant spoiler.
Giant
here.
Spoiler. Yeah. Hello, spoiler.
When Yondu dies in this movie.
And it sucks.
And my son is sitting next to me. I'm like, oh, crap. Just eyes are tearing up.
Yeah.
And he really sacrifices himself to save Quill.
The whole movie, they made you like him more and more and more. And then he dies. And everybody in the theater, it's like, well, geez, this is getting dusty in here.
Yeah, it got pretty rough in there. And I'm looking at my son and he doesn't have a full reaction because I don't think he has the scale of what's going on.
Yeah.
But then they give him this great funeral, and I believe there's a funny beat right after it. So they, James Gunn.
But then when all the Reavers come and they have the fireworks,
he gets
rough again.
He gets a funeral that he wanted.
That he's meant to have, yeah.
And there's all this energy, and it's all positivity, and this idea. Although, I mean, it's a comic book movie, and characters never stay dead in comic books, and whatever, it's easy to do. You got space and time, and you got Infinity Stones and whatever. And if you've ever read the Infinity War, I think Thanos at one point destroys all of society and all of creation.
Everything, yes.
And then it all comes back.
Of course.
You can do that. But in the moment, it was a really touching death, which I think worked very well. And it gave, I guess, even more direction. For you have the Peter character dealing with the death of his own father, Ego, and then the death of his stepdad.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, character development. You Yondu character development. You had Peter character development. You had Drax character development. You learned he doesn't like, you know, dancing and thinks Mantis is ugly.
Nebula You're right. So I think I saw somebody's post somewhere. They're like, look, it's good that superheroes have feelings, but maybe they shouldn't spend so much time talking about that.
They spent the whole movie talking
about it. There's a lot of discussion. And to me, it just, like, they said volume two, it felt like you were just reading another chapter in a book, and it felt good to me. It's just like, it's just another part of something. And I thought it continued the right feel and tone from the first movie. Yeah. Fits in the Marvel universe very well. Gives you ridiculous concepts between, like, this brain showing up and then becoming a planet. That's all cool and acceptable. The world that they've inhabited, or the galaxy at this point, is so ridiculous, but everyone treats it like it's normal. So we're all like, yeah, well, that's fine. At no point in this movie, like I did in the first one, thinking about the raccoon. I'm like, that dude is he's my favorite character. He's funny.
Yep.
I forget that he's a raccoon.
Yep.
Not that he's always cute and whatever. It's like, this is just hilarious at times, and he did also have his own arc going through his own emotions, like everybody did in this movie. I think the only person who didn't have emotions would be Peter's dead mother does die again, so she doesn't have an emotion. I don't know. Mantis, does she have her own emotion? She just felt everybody else's.
She felt everybody else's. Yeah. She tried to smile, which was really creepy.
Groot? I mean, he doesn't have much of an arc in this. He's the child.
No, he's the fun one.
Oddly enough, Groot has the least growth in this movie until the very end.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, expands.
Very true. It's a fairly good point.
That's what I'll take.
I also want to say that the fact that the crazy galaxy concepts in this movie, they've gone so far with this that it's not going to be a big deal when they start doing, you know, the next Avengers that's going to be some kind of galaxy type, you know, crisis that everybody's got to deal with. It's not going to be a big deal because of these movies.
Yeah, the Avengers first one where they're like, okay, let's see how we put this team together. All right, let's introduce the Hulk again, make him not suck. And then let's see if they get this team dynamic working with S.H.I.E.L.D. And then, like, oh, by the way, space aliens come through this giant blue thing. And yeah, it was a little bit of a stretch, even for that movie.
Yep.
But by the time the third one rolls around, it's going to be just cake.
No big deal. Yep.
They've set the table for this cake. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now your connection's breaking up again, but with that, we should wrap this up with a tiny bow. I'll just digitally insert a bow there. If I didn't, ILM didn't finish the renders in time, because that's where we send these out to.
Bastards.
They're not cheap.
I mean, ILM, I is limited.
Mind.
Movie.
I was just limited mind, couldn't handle it. That's me, ILM. I've gotten two nicknames today. The man who accepts no blame. That's just the third one now. Man who takes no blame. And now, I is his limited mind. It'd be great, anytime I screw up. What was that? ILM.
Let's go with it. I like it.
Cutting it.